So why do we celebrate Christmas? Well, as we'll find out today on Abounding Grace Radio, it's because we're in a dark, fallen world. We need somebody to pull us out of ourselves.
Let me ask you this. Is the Lord little in your eyes today? Is His work unsatisfying to you? Or do you say, who knows if all this is true? It may seem little, foolish in the eyes of the world, but it's precisely the nature of saving faith to believe in Him and the things that are little in our eyes as the way of His deliverance, as the way of His help.
Does Christmas seem little to you? We tend to keep Jesus in the manger, don't we? But at the end of the day, we need Him to grow up. We need Him to go to that cross. We need His salvation. And that's what comes through in Isaiah 7. Welcome to Abounding Grace Radio. Pastor Chris Gordon takes us there, the Emmanuel sign. Here's Chris with today's program.
Here comes Isaiah. Mounting armies coming. It's interesting what Isaiah's son, his name means. Sheer Jashub. A remnant will return. A remnant will return. So Isaiah has a sign in his own son right there. As a matter of fact, two signs are coming in his sons. There's another son Isaiah has in the next chapter. And it comes with a powerful message to Judah. Be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear. Don't let your heart become faint because of these firebrands, because of these stumps that I'm going to deal with. They may have fierce anger. They're not going to do anything. It shall not stand. It shall not come to pass. You listening to me, Ahaz? You see those great armies over there? They're going to make no headway. They're not going to touch you. They're going to have no real power. As for Ephraim, as for the northern kingdom, in 65 years, they're done. And that happened. That happened. Now, why this story in the midst of all of this? What is the Lord wanting us to see, and what is the Lord wanting us to learn from it? These two kingdoms have announced their plans, but here comes the human and divine perspective of things. There's no way, humanly speaking, Ahaz can save himself. There's no way. There's no way, humanly speaking, he can stop this. And that gets to the heart of things. That gets to the heart of the passage this morning. If things were on just mere whims of chance and fortune, and that was the determining factor of what was to happen, then we could live in fear. But if there is a God who is the God of Israel, if there is a God who is the God of Jerusalem, if there is a God who is in control of it all, why then are we trembling? Is not God enthroned? Does he not live? Does he not reign? It's been the entire perspective of the book of Revelation, hasn't it? Is he not king? Does he not hold all things in his hand? What can man do to you? You should be calm, Ahaz. You should consider your ways, Ahaz. For your fear and your swaying as a wind of the tree, doesn't it all belong to a believing heart? It won't succeed. So the choice is right there in front of them. You can look at the mountain of armies that are coming against you. And if you do, there's one conclusion. If you look that way at things, there's one conclusion you have. We will not make it. We will not make it. Or you could listen to the words of the prophet, the preacher. In hope, you could believe against hope, God will save you. You see it? That's what you have right now. Mounting armies and the prophet's words, the preacher's words. By the way, is this sounding any bit familiar to life? Hopefully, I'll get there. What's presented is the heart of the matter. If you will not believe, verse 19, you will not be established. It's what it says here. If you're not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. That's the heart of this, isn't it? Faith. All of this may seem somewhat disconnected from you. You exist right now. Maybe depending on how life is going, you're a little bit out of touch with reality, like I often am. Buried in my own little life. No idea of how, humanly speaking, everything is against us. Everything. Sin is too powerful. Many of you right now are stuck in sins and you know how powerful it is and you are guilt-ridden over it. Or if we're like simple or sloth, we don't care. I don't know. This is mounting armies against us. A spiritual realm of darkness that comes at us all the time and throws everything it can at you. And you go every day unwilling to realize how the Lord keeps you from all of that. It's been a good life. I've had a good life. But it's His preserving that's kept me to this day. And the reality is, I look at life and I'm worried. All my worry and all the fear proves that I'm trying to preserve life myself. All the fear, all the worry proves that. There are moments, though, when these distressing events come in the course of one's life. There are moments when these distressing events come, and then we're tested as to where we are. God is always coming in the midst of this. God is always coming. This is what pastors are supposed to do. That's why the message has to be the same all the time, because people are always in different places and in different periods of life, and then these distressing moments come. Some come now for some come tomorrow, but the pastor always is giving the same message, isn't he? God is always calling, come. Trust me. I've taught you what faith is your whole life. Deep leaning of reliance upon my word. Deep leaning and trust that I can and will deliver you. What do you have to fear? Imagine the scenario. There stood Isaiah with his son. A remnant shall return. Are you the remnant? Have you believed? If you put your trust in me, you'll be established. How? Look at that. Look at what's mounted up. Look what's coming. Here we come to the most important moment of anyone's life. It really is. You see how the gospel call always unfolds to us in every place. The decision to trust in the Lord has far-reaching consequences. Judah, depending on the direction they would go, would be established, or what would happen to them for the next 2,000 years. The crisis and test that has been set before Ahaz comes as a call to faith. A call to faith. Will you believe me? And the Lord asks that us today. Will you believe me? Will you believe me? Sloth, will you believe me? Simple, will you believe me? Formalist, will you believe me? Presumption, will you believe me? Hypocrite, will you believe me? God had promised to David there would never fail to sit on the throne a king, and that kingdom would be established forever. And then God does something remarkable here, doesn't he? At the moment of this crucial time in Judah's history, of one of the greatest crises that has ever happened, God does something absolutely remarkable. Ask a sign of me. Ask a sign of me. I don't want you to worry about it. If you can go as far down or as high as you want, ask the sign. I'll give it to you. Ahaz, I will not ask, nor will I test the Lord. That's the hypocrite. Right there. That sounds pious. But he wants nothing to do with faith. He has already made up his mind. You know what Ahaz had decided? Well, 2 Kings tells us. Then Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to make war and besieged Ahaz, but could not overcome him. So Ahaz sent messengers to Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, saying, ready? I am your servant and your son. Come up and save me. Stop. What? Assyria, come up and save me. Save me from the hand of the king of Syria and the hand of the king of Israel who rise against me. And Ahaz took the silver and the gold that was found in the house of the Lord. He's selling the house. And in the treasuries of the king's house, and he sent it as a present to the king of Assyria. His mind was made up. Oh, well, notice the formal hypocrisy here. I will not test the Lord. He had already decided in his mind, that's the only way I can be saved. I can be saved. He knew that if he asked a sign of something from the Lord, guess what? He'd have to believe it. He'd have to believe it. You expect me to believe that? His course was planned. It was already decided. It was John Wesley who once said, if we will not believe God, we will believe anything. It's so true. So true. It was at this moment that the fate of Jerusalem was decided for thousands of years. And all that had to do with this moment and this test. This test. In fact, I should say that one of the most troubling things about Israel's history was the generational struggle to believe. You had pillars in one generation who built, the kingdom was built. Look at what happened. And these saints believed the gospel. These saints listened to God's word. And then it was like the next generation. And then the generation that came after that completely abandoned it. And it goes on today. It's been a striking thing to see the conviction of the generations thrown out by new ones. Striking. All with a rolling of the eye in arrogance. That's this. What was the heart of it? Here's the heart of it. God's work among us is little. God's work among us is little in our estimation. God's work among us, one verse in chapter 8, look over to, this is worth every bit of looking down and seeing it. Inasmuch as these people refuse the waters of Shiloh that flow softly. That verse is I'll look at it tonight. It's just a remarkable, remarkable section here. Actually, it's verse 6. Because this people has refused the waters of Shiloh that flow gently and rejoice over Rezin, the son of Remaliah. It's a statement saying God's work is not very exciting among us. God's work is just not very much among us, and we're not very impressed with God's work. That was the attitude. This is exactly why we give more attention to anything and everything in this life that brings us more happiness, we think, than the Lord. And the result is we give him only what we have to because we're not that impressed with him. We're not that impressed with him. Sports is way more, at least it's something we could see. At least it's something powerful. This is just not that impressive. So we'll give him what we have to. Well, the preacher responds, "Hear now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you the sign." Stop. This is an amazing moment. If God says, okay, you don't want the sign, I'll give you the sign. Boy, it could have been a sign of judgment, couldn't it? In some ways, it would be. This child would be destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. But this is a wonderful sign he's about to give. What would it be? You'd think he'd rend the heavens and show us something absolutely glorious so that we would believe, right? He'd give us the biggest thing ever. Yeah, he would. What is it? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Translated, God is with you. Remember what I said at the beginning, in the darkest moments of Scripture comes the greatest announcements. Remember Genesis 3, when the fall came the greatest announcements of announcements. What a God you have. You treat him this way, and he responds this way. What a God you have. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. I'm going to do something wonderful. I'm going to give you a child. Behold, Adonai will give you the sign. The all-powerful one will come and do it for you. Listen to the sign. He is Emmanuel. He is the bringer of salvation for you. Ahaz, you're looking to Assyria to save you. This is the sign. This is the sign. What you refuse and consider and think God's way is little. God's not doing much for you. God's not helping you is the biggest answer he could ever give you. He just gave you him. And now, I believe Dr. Godfrey tomorrow is preaching Matthew 1. Now you understand it, don't you? Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take you, Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And don't miss who Jesus is. So all that was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus is God with us. Ahaz wouldn't believe. And the consequence for Judah for years was generational. The Lord will bring the king of Assyria upon you and your people and your father's house, days that have not come since the day that Ephraim departed from Judah. Darkness enveloped the people of God. You have a lot of darkness between these two testaments of the old and the new to tell us to think about this. And you see, this becomes the great point of the passage today. Does the Lord test us this morning? What do we find great? What are we celebrating? Let me ask you this. Is the Lord little in your eyes today? Is his work unsatisfying to you? Do you think there's power in this? Think there's real power in this? Or do you say, who knows if all this is true? Who knows? Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls who, on finding one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. God comes to you testing you today. The way of deliverance will never seem to fix anything in your lives at present at times. It may seem little, foolish in the eyes of the world, but it's precisely the nature of saving faith to believe in him in the things that are little in our eyes as the way of his deliverance, as the way of his help. Here was a choice to find deliverance in the mighty king of Assyria or a baby born to a virgin. What strength is there? What strength is there? And here's your choice. You go forth in this test, and some test will come, and choose what you think is the way. As we are bent to solve all of our problems and distresses of this life and have our best life now, and then bring darkness upon yourself. Or look to his answer. Believe his answer. And find real strength. Because the kings and the chronicles tell us the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. He wants to show himself strong for you. He has spoken in his word. He's made promise after promise. And the heart of the entire word of God, it comes down to this central truth. This is the heart of the word of God this morning. If you haven't understood anything about the Bible, you can get to it right here in this simple truth in the middle of this obscure passage. This is the heart of it all. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. He'll do it. God cared so much for you. Think about the gift he gave you this time of year. Boys and girls, you all are excited to get gifts. My kids are excited to get gifts. The greatest gift has been given to you. God gave his son, who is Emmanuel, God with us, to save you, to deliver you, to love you, to remove the bars, to give you life. God has given you a king, that's tonight, and a kingdom that can never be shaken. The government's going to be on this child's shoulders forever. The Lord comes to you today. Do you need a sign? Do you need a sign? What are you fearing? I want to close here with the words of Martin Luther. "Fear not," said the angel. "I fear death. I fear the judgment of God, the world, hunger, and the like." The angel announces a Savior who will free us from fear. Not a word is said about our merits or works, but only of the gift we are to receive. "When I die, I see nothing but sheer blackness except for this light. Unto you is born this day a Savior. The Savior will help me when all else fails. When the heaven, the stars, and all the creatures glower, I see nothing in heaven and earth but this child. If for the sake of this child a man could count all gold and goods, all power and honor as blackness, if compared with this child the stars in heaven and all the treasures of the earth were as nothing, then he would know the true use of the angel's message." What a beautiful statement. That's the issue. Do you know what you have? Do you know what you've been given? If you do, then you know the one who is strong to save you. You know the one who has delivered you from all your sins. You know the one who's promised you heaven. You know the one who's given you life. God himself is with us. "Why are you fearful then, O my soul?" Psalm 42. "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God, the help of my countenance and my God. He is your joy. Rejoice, born to you this day in the city of David is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Believe in him, and you will live."
That we would see the true meaning of Christmas. You know, it's not just the birth that we celebrated, but it's his death, burial, resurrection, the all-sufficient sacrifice of Christ, that you and I might have redemption in and through him and be with him for all eternity. That is Christmas. This is Abounding Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us today. Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time today with a word of prayer, but I'd like to leave you with our contact information. If you'd like to get a hold of us for any reason at all, maybe you're looking to be a part of this ministry financially, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's prayerfully. Again, please let us know. If you've got a question or comment, I'll tell you how you can reach out to us and send that question our way, and we'll do our best to get Chris behind a mic to answer it just for you. Here's our contact information. First, our phone number, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You can visit us online at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. And consider that somewhat like a diving board into other platforms that we are on. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, all of those platforms are available through our website, agradio.org. If you'd like to lick a stamp, send us a letter. The address is Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, as mentioned, if you have a question that you would like addressed to Pastor Chris, well, here's how you do it. Get out that nice little smartphone of yours and open up the Voice Memo app. Record your question for Pastor Chris, and then go to our website, agradio.org, and send it off in an email, or simply visit our Facebook page and send it to us through Facebook Messenger. It's that simple. If we use it on the air, we'll let you know. Well, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again as he closes out today's program with a word of prayer.
Heavenly Father, thank you for these words this morning from the book of Isaiah for encouraging us, because we're so much like Israel. We are so, at times, so much like these figures of Bunyan, or of John Bunyan, who mentioned sloth and simple and presumption and formal and hypocrite. Let us be believing today and treasure this joy that you've given to us in the birth of your Son, who not only lived but died and rose again. And believing, may we know that we have life in his name. And would that give us such confidence and peace in this life? But that's the real peace that matters, peace between God and man. And when we have that, we have everything. Help all those who doubt today turn their hearts to you in belief, And thank you for your wondrous word that gives us such a precious answer in the birth of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
We close out the week with another look at Isaiah as we celebrate Christmas. Tomorrow on Abounding Grace Radio. Join us then. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.